Exodus chapter 9. Going through the book of Exodus. So we're finding out who has a hardened heart. Oh, and we find out everybody has a hardened heart. Yeah, so we either harden the Lord in faith, or we harden our heart in faith towards the Lord, or harden our heart in the flesh towards self-will. So, all right, so we're in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 20 and following, so we do have a handout for that. So we'll pick this up in Exodus chapter 9, verse 20. Ready for the eighth plague. So the Lord is dealing with everyone here, and he's dealing with the nation of Egypt. And he's the one who said there in Exodus chapter 6 that his name... Jehovah was special for the Jews, so the Jews are finding out, along with Moses and Aaron, and with Pharaoh and his people, what Jehovah means. Jehovah means is that he's the ever-existing one, he's over everything, and he's also the great deliverer. All right, so chapter 9, verse 20. So here we have the judgment coming once again. Plagues were going to be given forth, we're told that in 9:14. Lord will send all my plagues upon thine heart. So this was a special attack upon Pharaoh, and of course undermine Pharaoh's deities here. And he's going to smite the earth with pestilence. We're told that in verse 15. And verse 18, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field shall not be brought home, and the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. Our Father, we pray you bless us, and I thank you for the scriptures, the opportunity to go through these books of scripture and learn more about the Lord and his mind. Pray that you help us to be focused, learn these truths in the form of facts, and help us put the facts to faith and to follow the Lord, we pray. We commit all this to thee, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we go through these various books, we're learning how the Lord, who the Lord is, how he operates with mankind. We also learn how gracious he is towards the world and towards mankind. Actually, how gracious he's been towards us as well. All right, and so here the hail would come and destroy everything in the field. Obviously, Egypt is has a very dry climate and so on. For them to have hail, rain, or anything like that would be very unusual. And, of course, it would be like in the days of Noah when it hadn't rained yet, and the warning that Noah had to give was rain is going to come. Well, we've never seen rain. We're not going to believe that. And likewise, as far as them having hail, this was something very, very unusual. And yet the Lord was going to bring the hail, and anything in the field he was going to kill with the hail. So we pick this up in verse 20. Scripture says, he that feareth the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. So notice we have two responses to this. either to believe the Lord and His word or not to believe the Lord and His word. So Moses had promised the next plague of the greatest grievous hail and electrical storm of human history, certainly the history of Egypt, to Pharaoh and the people on the morrow. So several points here. First of all, if you look there in our passage by Asaph in Psalm 78. Asaph was a contemporary with David. Psalm 78. He says here in 78 verse 47, He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. And He gave up the cattle also unto the hail and the flocks to hot thunderbolts. And He cast upon them the fierceness and the anger and wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. So the Lord used demons to bring all this about. So the demons rejoice, you might say, if they have that ability. The demons want to destroy mankind. And so the Lord used destroying demons to destroy Pharaoh. And of course, Pharaoh and his people worshipped deities. And 1 Corinthians 10 tells behind the idols and so on are demons. And so the very demons whose image and the idols they were worshiping are the ones that wanted to destroy them. So the devil hates all mankind. The devil and his demons hate all mankind. Any worship of any demonic system really is for the destruction of the person that worships the devil and his idols and so on. So the devil's not a friend to anyone. And his demons aren't friends to anyone. All right, so anyway, we have that parallel passage here. But notice it mentioned the lightnings as well as the hail, so the electrical storm. So somehow the message was spread to the Egyptians to shelter themselves or animals immediately or die. So keep in mind then that he says on the morrow. So how did this message ever get to all those Egyptians throughout Egypt? Got 24 hours, basically. We don't know, but we believe it. We don't know, but maybe had some sort of a system that worked there by word of mouth. But nevertheless, we have the judgment that was going to come here. To the inhabitants of this dry land of Egypt, which experienced so little precipitation, the warning must have been incredulous and therefore unbelievable to many. Response was mixed. So notice there in verse 20-21, some feared the word of the Lord. Some of them were thinking, hey, we've been through seven of these plagues, and Jehovah says this is going to happen. And in some cases, this is going to happen on this day to this group and so on. Maybe we're going to believe that Jehovah is going to do this. I mean, how many times? Seven times. We're working on the eighth plague here now. So some feared the word of the Lord. And some didn't. And some regarded not the word of the Lord. So that's really the populace of mankind today. People either fear the Lord and believe His word, or they disregard His word and the Lord and so on. So the response was mixed, and some of the Egyptians feared the word of the Lord, responded in faith and housed animals and family and animals. This is the proper response. Fear, faith, follow. So for a true believer, the believer is going to fear the Lord, who revealed in the scripture, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, all are sinners. And judgment's coming, eternal judgment's coming for all who do not repent. So we fear the message. Fear leads to faith. We put our faith in the Lord. And then a manifestation. The fruit of our repentance should be follow the Lord. Should be follow the Lord. So here we have the three F's there. Easy to keep in mind. Fear, faith, follow. Presumably, the Egyptians began to realize who was this Jehovah of the Hebrews. And some hardened their hearts in belief. Now remember, I'm using, talking about that verb hardened, same word that's used for Joshua, another in the visual Bible, where he was to strengthen his heart, encourage his heart, and so on. So he was to harden his heart in faith and take over the promised land, same verb. Likewise, some hardened their hearts in belief and became the mixed multitude. According to Exodus 12:38, there's a mixed multitude that went out with the Jews. They left with the Jews, their families and flocks. However, some responded as Pharaoh and regarded not the word of the Lord in their heart. All right, so this is an example of mankind. So notice when Pharaoh did not regard the word of the Lord, the Lord could have killed him on the spot, but he didn't. Very gracious, gave him more opportunity. And so that's probably all of us before we were saved. We heard the gospel. We knew the truth. Not now. No, I'll wait. Maybe now. Maybe later. I'll wait. And the Lord could have taken our lives. Well, if he did, where would we be? But he didn't. He was gracious to us. And in due time, in his grace, we responded to the truth and were saved. Anyway, in verse 22 and 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, and there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man, and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So we see that now with the hail, there was an electrical storm going on. Now Moses himself stretched forth his rod. Earlier, back there in 719, Aaron had to do it. Remember, Moses was reluctant in some of these areas here. So there in 7:19, the Lord said, spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod. So you say to Aaron, Aaron, take my rod, and stretch out thine hand. So he's got Aaron doing that. No, Moses, really, you're the one who's called to do this. But if you're not going to do it, then I'll let someone else do it. Anyway, Moses left the privilege to head up the Levites. Remember that? Aaron then, because he was involved, he had the privilege of heading up the Levites. So Moses left out, lost off on some blessing in this life as well as the life to come. But anyway, now Moses, whether he's learning more about Jehovah, so he's hardened his heart about faith in Jehovah, Moses. And he's told to stretch forth his hand, and he does it. So simple little thing like that. Sometimes we'd miss little truths like this. The Lord told him, you do it. You do it now. Let Aaron do it. You do it. And he did it. He did it. And so it's easy to pass off difficult things that the Lord wants us to do on somebody else. I'll let my assistant take care of this. Not me. I don't want to do that. I'll let my assistant do it. No. So we notice here the fire ran along the ground and hail rained upon the ground. All right, now 24 through 26 is interesting. It says, and so there was hail and fire. So remember the lightning in our Psalm 78. Fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. So when did it become a nation? Right after the division of the land. And Egypt became a nation there. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, and there was in and all that was in the field, both of man and beast. And the hail smote the herb of the field, and to break every tree of the field. Now, significantly and interesting, I believe, here is the hail fell, and the fire mingled with the hail. So we're told that in verse 24. Fire mingled with the hail. Now, the Hebrew word behind the mingled there, and you can see it there. Pronounce it by yourself if you want. But anyway, it has is a certain stem, which means it's reflexive. It's a reflexive Hebrew stem, which means that it gives the sense that the fire was taking hold of itself. The fire was taking hold of itself. In other words, the fire is trying to catch up with the fire. Or zigzagging back and forth, trying to catch its tail. So how does fire try to catch itself? I mean, that's literally what the Hebrew is reading there. So it's like zigzagging here and there and trying to catch up with its tail as if it had a tail. In other words, the fire was zapping every moving thing out in the open as the hail was crushing the land of the people and the animals and the vegetation. So here this fire was just zapping all over the place, going after everybody. So it's moving. He used a very interesting verb there. Reminds us when we're sitting out on our deck on a summer night and we got these little light fixtures here for the mosquitoes, and mosquitoes come to them every once in a while. We hear them zap, 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 zap. Amen. We like that. We like that noise. We like to hear that noise of zapping mosquitoes. All right. So I guess that's the fire's catching up with itself or something. But anyway. All right. So, and so you can imagine this. Hail is falling down, crushing the trees, destroying the animals and men. Fire is everywhere, zapping all over the place. And he says, and it was very grievous in this. So, very grievous, that's in verse 24. Such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt. So, we can imagine them not only having a hailstorm, where they'd hardly ever have any rain, but also lightning, and then all the activity going on here. So, it was tremendous thing, and so the scripture says it's very grievous. It almost makes you understand as you have to visualize this. Is this an understatement? Wasn't it very, 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 very grievous? But anyway, very grievous to be sure. So with emphasis, scripture repeated the effects of the eighth plague, saying that the hail smote everything, including the herbs and the trees and the fields. So we're told that in verse 25. Hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, both man and beast, herb and tree. All right, so we had that in verse 24. Now it's repetition. Repetition indicates the emphasis that is meant to be brought out here. The only exception to the plague was in the land of Goshen, where the Hebrews lived. So remember, earlier Pharaoh gave the choice piece of land at Goshen over to the Jews. So for their cattle and so on. And we find out that's where they are as well here in Exodus 8:22. So the God of the Hebrews, Jehovah, exempted his chosen people from the plagues. And so the Egyptians are getting hammered by this hail and so on, and the fire, but not the Jews, not in the land of Goshen here. All right, so then we notice from 27 through 28. And the Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for is enough, for there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. So here, 27 to 28, here's his promise. Can always trust the Pharaoh, right? So, Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron in the midst of the hailstorm. Now, several questions come up. They're never answered here. So who did he send? All right, so here we're in Zoan. It's close to Goshen. All right, messenger. There's a tremendous hailstorm going on outside, lightning bolts, everything else falling over the place. But you go get Moses and Aaron. Now, how did he do that? Dodge those lightning bolts. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. How'd they do that? We don't know. And then Moses and Aaron, they're to leave Goshen and come back over to where Pharaoh was, Zoan. How'd they dodge all that? Well, they were protected. They had a supernatural umbrella or something, so apparently hail's falling all around them, lightning bolts hitting and everything. They're just walking right through it. Perhaps with the messenger, we don't know. I mean, you got to think through these things, right? But we don't know. But anyway, they arrive there before Pharaoh. Next, Pharaoh recognized that the Hebrew God was in control, not a deity named Set or Seth. That's usually the deity that they indicate was over weather and everything, kind of a general name for. Whatever happened to Set, and dealing specifically with him in an amazing but empty confession. It's amazing but empty confession. We see Pharaoh says this in verse 27. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Boy, that you can't get any more theological than that. Think of that. So he says, I have sinned. Notice, this time. All right, I'll grant you, this time. I sinned this time. Not the other time, just this time. I mean, that's right there in the text. All right, you got my attention. I'll admit this time, I have sinned. Okay. Not in the past. Now, remember, it's good for somebody to admit they're a sinner now, but we've always been a sinner. So don't say, I sinned this time. You caught me in the sin. I shouldn't have been doing this. So okay, I sinned here. But really, I'm not a sinner. Just one time I sinned. No, that's not the way it works. So I have sinned this time. And acknowledge that Jehovah is righteous. So here he's grasping, at least intellectually, what Exodus 6:3 means. They're going to find out who Jehovah is. And I and my people are wicked. Great theological words here. So these are your basic Hebrew words in the Old Testament. Hebrew students have to learn these words. They're common, high-frequency words, such as sin. That's the basic word for sin. The Old Testament's kata. And righteous, tzaddik. Tzaddik, that's the Hebrew, basic Hebrew word for righteous in the Old Testament is tzaddik. And wicked, the high frequency word rasha is the word for wicked. So, I mean, he is using Hebrew words, confessing to Moses. And you couldn't have any stronger words or statement of confession. I mean, this is loaded. Loaded. Of course, he's already said this time, so we see this is all compromised, just fancy language. He's using the right language. The right language, oh, that's good, but where's his heart? Heart's not behind the right language. And by the way, Pharaoh calls the deity of the Jews, the only God there is, Jehovah, uses his special name for the Jews. Great theological words. So back to the clever plea bargaining. All right, so we're still bargaining here, right? All right, so you want me to make a confession to leave off on the plagues. Okay, I'll make the confession. I'll do this. Now, we're bargaining here. If you want me to make a confession, I'll do it. Now, you let up on the plague. That's all he's doing here. Now, who's clever at this? But the Lord was greater than his cleverness. Pharaoh asked the men to entreat or pray to Jehovah. So notice here, entreat the Lord. He's saying, entreat Jehovah. Not that worthless Set. You know, my deity. Don't pray to him because I know he doesn't work. He's on vacation or something. He never shows up. So you entreat the Lord. See, so he knew who the Lord was because literally it was more than enough. That's really the strength of this. He says there, for it is enough. It's very emphatic in the Hebrew. It's more than enough. That there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. See, so his heart's not in it. Says the right words. Here's an example. Talk to people about the Lord, and they think, oh, you're pestering me. All right, so, okay. All right, you keep pestering me about this. All right, I'll make a profession of faith. Now get out of here. Right, that's the way it works. And so plea bargaining. But there's no evidence in it. All right, so it's more enough. He promised that he would relent. Okay, I made a profession of faith. You want me to come to church? All right, I'll be there. I guarantee you I'll be in church this Sunday. And some Sunday comes, no show. No show from that point on. Does that ever happen in this life? Sure, all the time. That's what people do. I'll be there. I made my profession of faith. I'll be there. Sounded just like Pharaoh. So there's a lot of Pharaohs out here in this world that do the same thing. All right. So, but the Lord's gracious. So he gave Pharaoh two more plagues, two more opportunities. What are you going to do with them? All right. So then verse 29 through 35. Scripture says, and Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. So here Moses in his graciousness, demonstrating the Lord's graciousness. So as soon as I get out of the city, which is Zon, that's where he was, or Tanis, name for it. He would spread his hands in prayer and the hailstorm would cease. Pharaoh would recognize that Jehovah is the only God and he is over all the earth. So this is what Psalms 24 says. We can look at that. Psalm 24. There's a biblical truth written later by David. But notice Psalm 24. Where David says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So everything belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. Even the weather belongs to the Lord. He's in control of the weather. All right, so Pharaoh had Seth, and we have Mother Nature. But the only one behind the weather is the Lord. All right. And so he indicates, I'll do this. I'll do this in verse 29, verse 30. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not hear or fear the Lord God. So Moses was already told that. He wouldn't initially relent of this. He's told that back there. In our earlier portion here, but also he probably had a clue. You're saying, I have sinned this time. All right, I catch the words what you're saying here. I understand what you're doing. All right, but I'm going to show you who the Lord is. So we'll go on your confession of faith. And basically, that's all we can do when somebody comes here and says they want to join church. All right, you want to join church? All right. Have you been saved? Yeah, I've been saved. All right. This is how it happened, so on. want to join the church, okay, so I need to get baptized, become a church member, and so on. And so we take them at their word. We don't put them on a six-week or six-month probation. I want to see how you behave. Because as long as they're not a church member, we have no control over them from a spiritual point of view. So they need to demonstrate their faith within the church membership. But here, nevertheless, Moses knew this. So nevertheless, Moses knew that Pharaoh and Jannes and Jambres, remember, these are the two magicians that Paul called out by name in Timothy. If they're still alive, I wonder if they're still alive. Remember, they couldn't stand in the last plague. They have trouble standing, so... wonder if they went out in the hailstorm. So we don't know if they're still alive or not. But anyway, and the rest would not fear the Lord God. All right, so notice the language that's cited here in the verse here. Verse 30. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not fear the Lord God. Now, I've mentioned this several times earlier, and so when you see that construction, Lord, all caps, and God with two lowercase letters, this is always referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's easy passages that demonstrate this. Sometimes you'll have Lord, lowercase, and God, all caps. That's referring to God the Father. So here, this is a rare term. I mentioned the rarity of this expression. Jehovah Elohim is the Hebrew there, who's referring to Jesus, the Son of God. The last reference to this Hebrew construction for the name of the Lord, referring to the Lord Jesus, found there in Genesis 3:23, and only occurs 17 other times in the whole Old Testament, that expression of the two names that way. So it's a rare expression. But contextually, it's always referring to the second person of the Godhead rather than the Holy Spirit or God the Father. Now, remember, they're all one, but they have different roles. God the Father never became flesh. The Holy Spirit never became flesh, but Jesus did become flesh. And Ephesians brings this out. Ephesians chapter 1 brings out the roles of the three persons of the Godhead in salvation. But nevertheless... here's this expression. Now, verse 31, and the flax and the barley was smitten, and the barley was in the ear, and the flax was boiled. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands to the Lord, and the thunders ceased, and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail, and the thunders were ceased, he said yet more, and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So notice the emphasis throughout this whole section, several times on the hailstorm, several times on him hardening his heart, and so on. So in conclusion here, the flax and the barley were smitten because they've grown up. Whereas the wheat and the rye had not grown up yet. And this wouldn't happen till late March. So we're thinking in the spring then with the Passover coming up. So this fits in our overall schedule here of the Passover, which is alluded to there in Exodus chapter 12 and so on. And then Pentecost would follow the Passover. All right, so Pharaoh sinned, and he did not relent. So here we have him lying once again to the Lord and to Moses and Aaron. But the Lord's still gracious, and the Lord's going to deal with him. So think of all the opportunities he's been given. Plus, earlier, last time we saw that the Lord raised him up. He raised Pharaoh up purposefully, so Pharaoh would have a personal confrontation with Jehovah and know exactly who he was. So Pharaoh had no excuse. And as Pharaoh presumably died in his sins and went to hell. He was given every opportunity to be saved and rejected it all. So Romans brings this out as well in Romans chapter 9. So we learn many truths here that are applicable to us. The Lord is gracious to us. He's been gracious. He's gracious to us. He wants us to do our service for him. And we don't want to be like Pharaoh and say, I'll do it and not do it. We want to harden our hearts in faith and not in unbelief. Father, we pray that you bless us. We thank you for the message once again, the opportunity to open Scripture, the words that you've given us here in the preserved Scripture. Bless each one. Help us to gain these truths, put them to practice in our hearts and lives. We ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.